I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you again that you qualified us to be filled with you. I thank you that the moment we surrendered our life to you, Jesus, you came in. Holy Spirit, you came in. Father, you came in. It is no longer us who lives, but you are in us. Make us God inside-minded. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that when you came, you changed everything. You pulled the veils back. You broke the hardness. You had allowed us to see things we've never seen before. The deception began falling off. Our eyes were wide open. Our ears were open. You changed us, God. And you continue to do it. I thank you today that you have prepared every heart, every mind for what is going to be released today. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, that you would take literal possession of my mind, my mouth. You would flow through me. I only want to say what I'm hearing you say. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the seed or distract. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again. You are a God who speaks. And you have made it so that we as your children can hear you. I thank you that throughout the course of this time, you are going to be saying things to us, your children, that I am not going to say out of my mouth. I ask, Holy Spirit, you would allow it to be heard. Empower the person to know it was you. Let it be captured. Because we believe one word from you changes everything. And so I thank you in advance for what is going to take place in the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. We are beginning today a new series that I have been praying about for some time and so many of you have been asking about for a long time. I got to be careful how I say this because every time the Lord lays something upon my heart, I feel like, whoa, this is the most important thing I could ever share with you. And I get that every time. So I'm sharing with you the most important thing, okay? I did that last week too. But I'll tell you where we're going. I want you to know. We are entering into a series talking about how to hear the voice of God with certainty. How to hear the voice of God with certainty. This morning, I'm just going to introduce it by sharing a little of what God did in my life to awaken this whole area for me. I'll tell you where we're going to be going. One of the services, we're going to be talking about the different ways God speaks. We're going to be taking two services to talk very clearly how to hear the rhema voice of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do practices. We're going to practice hearing. We're going to talk about the hindrances to hearing because some of you have struggled in this area your entire life, and you're still struggling. And we've all been there. I'm going to share with you how the Lord helped me over that and then what the Lord is laying upon my heart to help you move over that. We're going to do practices, because if you don't practice hearing the voice of God in church, let me ask you, where else are you practicing? I want to ask you one really dumb question before we begin. How many of you are hearing God with the clarity that you go, if it was like this my entire life, I would be 100% good. I don't need to grow. How many of you are totally good with your hearing the Lord right now? Totally good. None. How many of you want to grow in this area? Yes. Those of you who don't have your hands up, can I ask you why? Thank you, latecomers. That's awesome. I got to tell you, for me, when I first began ministry, and I began ministering at 17 years of age, I got saved when I was 5. I recommitted my life again at 12, lasted 3 weeks. I made my final commitment at 17 years of age at a Bible camp. I went to Bible school 2 weeks after that. In Bible school, began ministering and have ministered ever since. Traveled across Canada and the States with Bible school, have traveled to I don't know how many countries of the world ministering. But I want to tell you, in the very beginning of my ministry, when God changed the course of my life from law, was going into law, had scholarship to go to university, play volleyball, and begin my law degree, God got hold of my life. I shifted that, put it on hold, went to Bible school for a year, was going to pick up my schooling. Right at the end of summer, God laid in my heart and said, I want you to go back to Bible school again, contact university, said, I'm putting it off another year. Went back. That second year in October is when the call of God came in my life to shift from law into ministry. When I began in ministry, God spoke something into my life through a book that I read. And it said this, it said, the two most difficult things that a minister has to do is this. Number one is be themselves. That is the most difficult. Can I tell you how easy it is to compare with other ministers out there? Can I tell you, knowing that every week you guys are listening to some of the best anointed teachers and preachers on the face of the planet, you are hearing them every week. We go to a believers' conference, we have 12 out of 10 anointed teachers, preachers. They've been doing this longer than I've been alive. And then you got to come back and preach a message in your local church and expect people to be satisfied. Well, can I tell you, when God sets you free to go, Colin, I have not asked you to be Billy Graham. And I've not asked you to be. And I've not asked you to be. What I have done is I've asked you to be who you are. And I will remember the early years of my ministry, I'd go, God, if you can't use me the way that I am, then I got to get out of this and go into teaching, which is my degree, or law, which would be my degree. I can do anything. If you can't use me the way that I am, I'm out. And so to get to a point where God laid in my heart and said, Call, I made you this way. I'm going to use you who you are. Do not try and emulate. Do not try and be. Don't try and copy. Be you. He goes, I will empower you to do that. That is one of the most difficult things in ministry. Here's the second. The author of the book said, if you can do two things, you're good. Number one, if you can be yourself. And number two, if you can hear the voice of God. I want to tell you really clearly, I have 24 years of school, beginning grade one and 12 years of post-secondary. Can I say this to you? I am not smart enough to be a pastor. Let me say that to you again. I am not smart enough to be a pastor. And can I help you out? Neither are you. Do you know people who've had all kinds of university and seminary training who shouldn't be pastors? Can I tell you, you can have a truck full of education and still not be qualified for ministry. I will never forget in the early years, someone said, you can tell the difference between a man who comes out of his study and preaches a message or a man who comes out of the presence of God and releases what he heard. Can you tell the difference? Have you been to churches where you go, yeah, that man intellectually, boy, the whole deal, but there's no presence, there's no power, there is authority, and then you got someone else and you go, holy smokes, it's been like he's been with Jesus all night and he just released it with fire. Okay, we all know that. When I heard that in the early years of my ministry, the cry of my heart was, God, I cannot lean on my education. I cannot tell you the amount of times in the early years of my ministry, on Saturday night, 11 o'clock, I got nothing for Sunday morning. I'm in my study, I'm laying face ground on the floor, I'm absolutely terrified because I don't have a word. I've gone through all of my books and I've gone through my notes and I've gone through, nothing is fresh. I got to tell you a great story. We heard of an older pastor one time. He ended up going to a country church. He was visiting people who went to a country church, and he was sitting there in the church, and the young pastor got up, and the young pastor preached a message, and the old pastor was there, and at the end he walked out, and he shook the young guy's hand. He goes, that was an awesome message. The young pastor goes, thank you. He goes, where did you get it from? He goes, he goes, I heard it somewhere. He goes, yeah. He goes, that was my sermon. And the old guy looked at him and said, I have no problem with you using my sermon. Just make sure you have your own fire. He goes, you can use my bullet, but you need your own powder. I'll never forget Kenneth Copeland when he first got saved and started preaching. He said, he stole Kenneth Hagin's messages and all he did was preach them. When Jerry Seville began preaching, he took Kenneth Hagin's message. All he did was get up and preach his message. He had his own gunpowder, but he said the bullet was too good. And as he grew into his own bullets. But I'll tell you, Saturday nights, 11 at night, you guys are sleeping. You're thinking, well, should we shut the movie off and get ready for church in the morning? And the pastor's sweating on the floor. I can tell you when you're in that moment, your education does spit for you. What you need is, God, you got to open up my ears and allow me to hear what you are wanting to say. Can I say something to you as well? How do you, and again, we can talk about churches that have 10,000, Youngi Cho. It was so awesome, Riley, to have your friend Cindy on Friday night. That was so awesome she was there. Young girl from Korea. She's over in Canada for 3 years, hooked up with Riley in school. Goes to a church in South Korea. Mom and dad doesn't go. She goes on her own. Korea's got the largest churches in the world, right? Youngi Cho, we know, 50,000 and some. I mean, a huge amount. How do you preach a message that is going to reach 50,000 people? You got non-believers in there, and you got mature all the way. How do you preach one message that's going to touch all of them? I got to tell you, in the early years, I used to think about who would be in church on Sunday. And as I was preparing, I go, well, if I say this, that person's going to be offended. I guess I can't say that. And then I would think, okay, if I say this, they're going to think I'm speaking directly to them. They're going to be thinking I got their name. Like, I should just say, Bob, this is for you. No, and so I couldn't say that. And you can almost go totally crazy when you're thinking about everybody. And I remember the transition where the Lord said, call. I don't want you to think at all about who's in church. I want you to seek my face. I know who's in church. Seek my face. I'll give you what to say, and if it's my word, it will reach all of them. I can't tell you how set free that made me. So don't be offended, but I don't think about whether or not you're going to be in church on Sunday. You're not coming to church for me. I'm not coming to church for you. I'm coming here to download what God gave me, and then I'm going to pour it out, trusting that doesn't matter where you are at, you are going to hear what God wants you to hear. And I'll tell you, this is why I count on God speaking to you. Some of you are really weird. Can I just say that? And I'll tell you why I pray in the beginning when I'm at the back, because some of you come through the line and go, Pastor, when you said this, that was awesome. And inside of me, I'm going, I didn't say that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I don't look at you and go, what church were you in? Because that didn't come out of my mouth. I had to learn very quickly that when I'm speaking, there are times you are hearing different things coming out of my mouth. You are hearing them and you're going, that's amazing. It's not on my sheet and I didn't say it. You know what? I count on the Spirit transferring between here and there, and you are hearing exactly what you're supposed to. I count on that. That's why I pray it every Sunday. And you've heard me say it before. You are never changed by the voice of a man. But when God speaks to you, you will do anything. You'll sell the farm and go to Africa. That's why I want to say bless you. Those of you who are showing up in obedience to the Holy Spirit's call on Wednesday night to intercede and war for our nation and what's going on in our southern border, you are responding to the voice of the Spirit. Flesh would not bring you out on a Friday, beautiful, gorgeous evening when they're diminishing quickly and we're heading for snow. But the Spirit does. And when you are here in obedience to the Spirit of God, things happen. I just want to say this. I heard it from a handful of people coming out of Wednesday evening. a number of people made a comment after it was done, the day after that, they made a comment and said, I could hardly believe we began and all of a sudden you were up serving communion. And I looked and it's like, are you kidding? 2 minutes. It felt like 2 minutes. Gone. Can I just say to you, when we enter into the glory realm, when we're walking in obedience and the presence comes, time just stands still. I have no issue believing eternity could be forever. In the presence of God, time will disappear. We're tasting that on Wednesdays. So those of you who are hearing the voice of the Spirit, when you walk through the door on a Wednesday, gorgeous, beautiful night, I know you are not here for any other reason than you heard and you're obedient. And we're experiencing the fruit of that. I want to tell you some of the things, and I'm just going to crack into it today, because nobody is born with just a powerful sense of knowing God's voice and knowing it's God and walking in absolute clarity. Nobody other than Jesus was that way. And I just want to tell you straight up before we begin, every power of hell wants to make sure that you do not ever hear the voice of God with clarity. He can't stop you from hearing. What you're going to find out as we get through here, all of you are hearing all the time. You just don't know it. We're going to sort that out. Every power of hell wants to make sure you do not hear the voice with clarity. Because do you know what? If you heard with clarity, there would be a boldness inside of you. There would be no gray. There would be definite direction. You would know exactly. You would not be leaning on your own understanding going, is that me? Is that the devil? Is that God? None of that would be there. You'd go, I heard. I'm doing it. It doesn't make sense, but I'm doing it. And you would see the fruit of it. So I just want you to know every power of hell is going to work against what we're going to talk about the next number of weeks. But can I say this? Greater is he who is in you. Greater is he who is in you. Let me tell you something else. Every power of your flesh is working against you. Your flesh is not designed or tuned. Your fallen flesh is counter to the things of the Spirit. Just read Romans 8. The flesh and the Spirit are opposed to each other. Let me just ask you this really clearly. How many of you this morning woke up and your flesh went, oh, this is awesome. We're going to spend an hour with the Lord this morning. Can't wait to climb out of bed and just be with Jesus. How many of you had that this morning, 5 o'clock? Your flesh was just going, yes! That just tells me you guys have put your flesh to death. Either that or you had too much coffee last night. Let me tell you, we've talked about it before. Most of us have to do what we got to do with our flesh. For me, I've said to you before, my success and failure in the morning happens in 5 seconds. When I wake up, my flesh does what your flesh does. If I don't shoot that flesh in 5 seconds, if I don't put that flesh to death in 5 seconds, in that 5 seconds, if I choose to put my head back on the pillow, I'm done. In that 5 seconds, I swing my feet. I'm standing up. I've told you before, there is a gunshot in my life every morning where I take the gun, turn it on my flesh, I shoot the sucker so it's dead, and then I get up and begin doing what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Let me say this again. I do that every time I shower. You know this. You got to be Spirit-led to do this, right? What do I do at the end of every shower? I flip off all the hot. Don't look at me that way. And let me tell you why I do that. When I stood on the cobblestones where Joan of Arc burned at the stake, looked at the stake and saw her burning, it reinforced to me that unless I put my flesh to death, if the time ever comes where my flesh is being threatened and I have not already killed it, I will do what a pile have done. And they've compromised their sake to save their flesh. Every Olympic athlete's put their flesh to death, and that's why they end up where they are. Can I tell you, every morning when I go cold, I say, body, just a reminder today that you're not ruling me. I don't know what you use to remind your body that it doesn't rule you. That's what I do. Flipping cold water everywhere, Africa, doesn't matter where I am. Body, a reminder today, you're not ruling me. The Holy Spirit does. I use Craig Hill's illustration. I go, Holy Spirit, would you weld the door of my flesh shut? And would you take your hinges, Holy Spirit, off the door? I don't want it swinging closed sometime during the day when I'm not paying attention. I don't care if that's weird to you. When the Holy Spirit gave me that, it changed my life. Let me just say this. When God calls you to fast, every power of hell and all of your flesh is against you. We'll talk about that list another time. I want you to know the devil does not want you to hear. I want you to know your flesh is working against you when it comes to hearing. But let me say this. Greater is he who is in you than the flesh that you carry. That's why I can get up in the morning. That's why I can shut the water on cold. That's why I can pray when I don't feel like praying. That's why I can worship when things are not good in my life. If my flesh ruled me, if your flesh ruled you, the Lord said to me years ago, Carl, either you will feel like it or you faith like it. Don't raise your hand. How many of you live your life feeling like it? Whatever you feel, you do it. No. Not going there. Whatever I faith like, whatever I faith. Flesh, shut up. You don't want to run? Run! You don't want to witness? Witness! You don't want to give? Give! Every person is either living based on what they feel or by what they faith. And the fruit of their life reveals it. I want to share with you a few things this morning, and I may not get through all of them just because of time's sake. But I want you to know how God began stirring in me the whole area of hearing the voice of God. 17 years of age when I got saved, shortly after, I went to Bible school. 2 weeks after, the summertime I came back, was working construction. That summer, met some young people. They were at a Bible study. They invited me to come to the Bible study. I would be sitting in a Bible study with some of these college and career people. I would be sitting there. Even though I was raised in a church, I did not have the freedom, the fluidity to pray. But I would sit there, and some of these young people, they would be praying like they were actually talking to God. Have you ever heard people pray like that? Some of you were raised in a church where the only prayers you ever heard, they had to flip open to the prayer book, and they read the prayer out the way that somebody 100 years before had written it. Some of you know what I'm saying. I sat in this group, and there were young people my age who were praying like they were actually talking directly to God. That began stirring something inside of me. Then we'd have discussions about things, and some of these young people would go, well, God told me, and then they would carry on. And it's like, what? God told you? You heard God speak to you? There is enough clarity that you could go with boldness. God said this, and you're not in unit 3? When I began, and can I say to you, when you encounter someone who is at a greater place of maturity and freedom than you are, the Spirit of God stirs inside of you an ache, or he should. It planted in me, I want that. I want to have that kind of fluidity in prayer. I want to be able to go, God told me, and I can look at you and say, God said. That planted a hunger inside of me. I didn't even know it. It just began to stir. I wanted what these young people had. And can I tell you, it was awesome because the Pope was not in that prayer group. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a billion people on the planet who believe that the Pope hears directly from God, but if you're under him, you don't hear with the same clarity. There's a billion people who believe that. I sat in a group and there was no pastor in that group, so when I heard them, it's not like, well, I guess it's just the pastors who hear. Do you know there's how many people believe that the pastor hears with a clarity that they never would be able to in their own? Why? Because he's the pastor. There was no pastor in that group. Can I tell you the awesome thing? There was also no old people. There was nobody above 25. You know what was amazing about that? There are some people who believe that you need to be older, you need to be more mature, you need to be around God for 30 or 50 years to hear with clarity. I love the fact that these people were my age. They were hearing with clarity. They were talking with intimacy. It's like, holy smoke. This is my age group. They're doing it. I want to ask you, how many of you, when you got saved, there was a hunger for the word, and you went and you grabbed the Bible, whether it was the Gideon's out of the hotel room or whatever Bible you had, your grandpa's, that was the big one on the thing. You opened it up, there was a hunger to read the word, and you began in Genesis chapter 1. How many of you did that as new believers? Genesis chapter 1, that was where you began. Yeah, where'd the rest of you begin? Why John? Yes. If you were blessed enough to have someone say, boy, when you begin reading your Bible, don't start at the beginning. Why don't you flip to the book of John? It is way easier to understand. If you're blessed to have that, that's awesome. For lots of us, we get hungry. We start the book of Genesis chapter 1. Guess what the most read verse in the entire Bible is? In the beginning. They find John 3:16 later. But I want to tell you, in spite of what some people say, that the Old Testament doesn't apply anymore, and the Old Testament, you can't learn anything from it anymore, and when you get saved, you should start in the book of John, I want to tell you why I think you automatically begin at the very beginning. Not just because you begin at the beginning of every book when you read. I want to tell you, I think there's a spiritual thing God did. Because he did it to me. Would you grab your Bible for a second? I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. I want you to see what the Holy Spirit used to stir inside of me in the area of hearing, in the area of relationship with God. I'm just going to begin at verse 1 just to get the context is down a little bit, but here's what it says. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the desert. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was burning on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Every time I read that, I see Charlton Heston. Do you see him? Do you see him? Don't judge me. I will go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over and looked, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am, right there. It hit me. God spoke to Moses, and Moses heard him, and Moses said, here I am. And God said, and Moses said, and God said, and Moses said, can I say to you, this is before the Holy Spirit. This is before the death and resurrection. This is before Pentecost. As a young believer, I got to Exodus chapter 3, and inside of me was burning, going, if Moses can hear God and talk in conversation, I want that. Have you ever noticed how the Holy Spirit just begins to plant little things? He never takes us from point A to point Z, but he plants little things that just moves us gently, makes us willing to give stuff up, wanting to move into an area. We look back after 1 year and go, holy smoke, have I ever changed? Little incrementally, right? I was 19 years of age, living in Edmonton. How many of you know the name Amy Grant? How many of you know the name Michael W. Smith? How many of you know they're my age? Huh? Yeah, Amy is actually my age. Amy Grant's my age, Michael W. Smith, one age younger. I was 19. found out from some friends that Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith were coming to Edmonton. I wonder if any of you were at that concert. Yeah, Ron, we've talked about it before. Ron Cope was at that concert. Baptist Church, can't remember the name. Nope, not Beulah. It was downtown, it was some smaller church. It was packed out. It was packed out. Amy Grant gets up on stage. Michael W. Smith is up there. He's her warm-up, right? Michael W. warmed up for her for years until he broke off on his own, did his own thing. He's up there, and he's doing his bouncing. I mean, just this young 18, 19-year-old just going at her. He's finished. Amy Grant comes up, and I mean, we all loved Amy, didn't we? Amy sang for a little bit. Then Amy said, I'm going to take a bit of a break. I'm going to invite someone to come up and just share a message with you, and then I'll come up and finish the concert. Amy sat down. A guy by the name of Tom Egham came to the stage. Tom Egham began by going, I've had the privilege to smuggle Bibles into Russia with Brother Andrew. I had opportunity to meet Brother Andrew, by the way. Brother Andrew was in Edmonton, pastor's conference. We went up there, had a chance to go up to him, actually shake his hand, talk to him for a little while. I'll never forget one thing Brother Andrew said. He goes, if you have two Bibles, you shouldn't. He said, what gives you the right to have two when the vast majority of the world has none? That's a powerful statement. We found that when we went to Africa, we took 1,000 Bibles. We found out some of the pastors in Africa have been in ministry 30 years and they do not own a Bible. We handed them out. People in the church could not believe. It was like we were handing out gold because only pastors and not even them got them. I'll tell you, a $3 Bible we handed out. It was unbelievable. If you've never experienced anything like it, it was worth the trip. Tom Egham made a statement. He said, I had the opportunity to smuggle Bibles into communist Russia when it was Russia, communist Russia during that time. He said, I want to tell you some things about that. He said, first thing we did, there was a group, and he was only maybe 10 years older than I was, so he was maybe in his late 20s. He said, the first thing we did is we go to Holland, because Brother Andrew is from Holland. He goes, for the first 6 months, he said, all we did was learn how to hear the voice of God. With what had been stirring inside of me, I want to tell you, that jumped out at me. He said, we learned how to hear the voice of God. I stopped and went, you can learn how to do this? The other thing that hit me, he goes, for 6 months, all we did was learn. And I went, you mean you learned how to hear the voice of God in 6 months? There have been people in the church for 80, 50, 30 years, and they still don't hear. You did it in 6 months? Do you ever have a time when someone's speaking and you hear something that grabs you, they keep on speaking, but you stay with what you heard? And all of a sudden, a minute or 30 seconds later, you re-engage and you miss the whole whatever else. Does that ever happen to you? All the time. He said, we went to Holland. Yeah, some of us do that with our spouse, don't we? I know what you're saying. We don't want to go there. He said, we went to Holland for 6 months. All we did was learn how to hear. He goes, I'll tell you why. Because he goes, when you get to the border of Russia, he goes, if you get in, he goes, we have no idea where we're going, no idea who we're supposed to drop them off, no idea of anything. He goes, unless you hear, you're totally driving blind. Another word Brother Andrew said to me, I loved it. He goes, I can promise you. He goes, I can get you into any country in the world. I promise, I can get you into anyone. I may not be able to get you out, but I can get you in. That was his statement. So Tom Egham said, we went to Holland. He said, for 6 months, we learned how to hear the voice of God. He said, after that was done, he said, we took our van. We loaded it up. From Holland, we headed to the Russian border. He said, we got to the border. He said, in front of us at the border, there were two cars. He said, the guards came out at the guard crossing. They came out. They talked to the driver. They looked in the trunk. They waved them on. The car in front, they looked at them, talked, waved them on. He said, when they got there, they stopped. He said, for the next 2 hours, they took our van apart. They took the stripping off the top on the inside. They jacked it up and took all the tires off. They took all the door panels off. They took the seats apart. They were checking the entire... He goes, Our entire vehicle was in shambles on the ground. After 2 hours, they said, okay, put it back together, you can go. They put it all together inside the van. They drove up. He goes, what they didn't do, they didn't check our bodies because he said every one of us had 30 Bibles strapped to our bodies. The Lord told them specifically, and can I say this to you? Not every person going strapped Bibles. Do you know what we have a tendency to do? Oh, they strap Bibles and it works? Let's strap Bibles, it'll work. No, 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 no. You strap a Bible when God didn't tell you to, you're spending your vacation in jail. God told them to strap Bibles to their body. Maybe nobody else did that because God knew at the border they would rip their vehicle apart, but they would not check their bodies. They said they scrambled everything, put it into the van. They took off driving, and it's like, okay, God, where do we go? They kept driving, went through a city, went through a town, stayed overnight someplace. They just kept driving. All of a sudden, the Lord said, on the map goes, here's where it is. Highlighted in the map goes, this is where I want you to go. They went into that city. They said they're driving around. All of a sudden, they stopped at a church. They said at that time, the church had chains on its door. They got out. They were standing in front of the church. They said while they were standing there, all of a sudden, there was a young girl came running out from the side of the church and said, follow me. The girl took off. The two of them looked at each other and they said, okay. They went and they followed the young girl, followed her down the street, went through a back alley, crossed over, followed another street, went around, followed her for a little bit. All of a sudden, she stops in an apartment. She opens the door, walks in. The two men, she motions like this. The two men walk in the door. Here the little girl's father was sitting at the table. He rises up. The two men walk in and he goes, we've been expecting you. That evening, while they were having supper with that father and her daughter, in the middle of supper, the father said, we need to put down our silverware. We need to go. The two guys look at each other and go, okay. They got up. They followed the father through the street, ended up walking outside the outer parts of the city. They said, as they were walking along in the country, they were coming to a bush. They said, all of a sudden, in the distance, they began hearing, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he said, as they were walking, it got louder and louder. They walked through the bush. When they got through the bush, on the other side, there was a fire. Surrounding that fire was a group of believers. The Lord told them, this is where you deliver the bread. Those Bibles were for this group of believers in the bush surrounding the fire. They went back. They finished the gathering, the worship time. They went back to the people's house. The men said to the man, they said, how do you know where to meet? Nobody said at the meeting where the next meeting was, where it's going to be, what time it's going to be. The father said to them, he said, we used to do that. At the end of every gathering, we used to go, next week it's going to be at Bob's house. It'll be on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. He goes, we used to do that. But what ended up happening is the KJB, they would hear about it. And he says, so many of our people ended up in jail because they would raid our meetings. He says, we've come to a place where we don't say anything, and only the people who hear the voice of God will end up showing up at the meeting. It was a few days later. They said they were just resting in the afternoon, and all of a sudden the father comes in and says, we got to go. They left what they were doing. They got up. They followed the father and the daughter. They went wherever they were going. All of a sudden, in the city, they went up an apartment, four-story. They climbed up. They opened up a door to an apartment. They walked in, and here is the same group of people worshiping in that place. It planted inside of these guys, God, we've learned how to hear, but we want to hear with this kind of clarity. I got to tell you one more story that comes from it because it was so powerful. One day they were at home. The little girl had come back from school. She was in grade 4. And they said to her, you know, we've met your dad. You know, we've met you. Where is your mom? Do you have any other siblings? She goes, At the beginning of grade four in our school, they make you pledge allegiance to communism and that ideology. So she said in the class that day when they made us do that and had everybody stand and they did the pledge, she goes, I didn't stand because I didn't believe in that, grade four. She said at the end of that day, the teacher called her aside and said, giving you a warning, you need to pledge allegiance to communism. I'll give you one more opportunity the next day. The next day came, at the end of the class, they had to stand to pledge allegiance. She sat. She said, that day after school, the teacher kept me back and she beat me. The next day in class, at the end of it, when we had to stand and give allegiance, she goes, I didn't stand because I don't believe that. She said, that night, they came to my home and they took my mother away. And we've not seen her since. She said, the next day in school, Dad said, I got to go to school. I went to school. At the end of that class, when we had to stand and give allegiance, she goes, I could not stand. I don't believe that. She said, that night they came and they took my little brother away and we've never seen him since. Then the men said, he said, I will never forget. Tom Egham said, I will never forget. He said, that little girl looked in our face and said, Misters, they can take my mummy. They can take my little brother. They might even come and take my dad, but they will never be able to take my Jesus away. Grade four. Can I tell you, sitting in the church that night, listening to Tom Egham talk about that experience, ignited inside of me a fire. My first year of Bible school, I traveled Canada and the States in a singing group for 9 weeks. Every night in those 9 weeks, we did a concert. Every night on those 9 weeks, the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to talk to somebody and lead them to Christ. Every night, sometimes more. All throughout that entire trip, people were coming and going, Colin, when are you going into ministry? I'd go, I'm not going into ministry, I'm going into law. They go, I think you should pray about the ministry. After I finished Bible school, I went to Concordia College for 1 year before going to university, U of A. Within the first month at Concordia College, God used me to lead 16 young people to the Lord. I did not have the ability to disciple them one-on-one. I couldn't do it, but I knew they needed to be. So I was building a relationship with other Christians. I would take this college believer, stick them with this brand new believer. Within 1 month, there were 16 one-to-one discipleships with brand new believers, and these other Christians were mentoring them. When I got to university the next year, I came from Bible school. Most of the other Bible school went to college in Camrose here. The second year they came to U of A, we all kind of gathered. It was shortly into it. They came to me and said, Call, we'd like to begin a Bible study. We'd like you to lead it. I said, I'll pray about it. I got back to them and I said, you know what? I'm open to do that, but I'll tell you what. There's going to be no sports. There's going to be no movies. We're not going to be going to the park. I'm not into it. I don't have time to do all the fluff thing. If we're going to do this, we're going to get serious. Within about 6-7 months, that group grew to about 120 college kids. Kids were getting saved. Kids were getting healed. It was absolutely amazing. We would gather every Thursday night from 7 o'clock till 10:30. For the first hour, we'd worship. For the second hour, we would share and pray. For the third hour, we'd break into small groups, and different small group leaders that I trained in the week, they took those groups. For the last half hour, from 10 to 10:30, I would preach. And we'd let them go every Thursday for 3.5 hours. As this group was growing, I had to ride on the bus from my apartment to university every day. I got to know a young girl on there by the name of Effie Kaminsky. You've heard me talk about her before. Effie Kaminsky. One day on a Monday, we were driving on the bus, got on the bus. We were only about a block apart. She got on. I asked her, and I said, how was your weekend? She said, it was kind of interesting. She said, Saturday night I was home, and she goes, I was just sitting on the couch, had my pajamas on, and she goes, I was just reading. She goes, all of a sudden the Lord said, get up and go to Westmount Shopping Mall. I got to tell you, it went off in me like Disney fireworks. One of the first things that hit me, it was like, if God had told me at 8:30 in the evening with my pajamas and reading, get up and go to Westmount, would I have even heard him? Or would I have went, I'm burping up pizza. This has got to be a bad thought. F.E. Kaminsky said, I heard the Lord say, get up, go to Westmount. She changed her clothes. She went over to Westmount on a bus. She goes, I got there. I was just walking along going, God, where do you want me to go? She goes, all of a sudden, I spotted a young girl sitting on the bench. She goes, Lord said, sit down and talk. She went over and sat down and talked with her. Long story short, this young girl was about to take her life. She goes, I'm just going to go to the mall. She goes, if nobody comes and talks to me, if nobody notices me, I'm going home and ending my life. Effie sat down beside her. They had a conversation. She led this young girl to the Lord, hugged her, prayed with her. This girl said, if you hadn't come, this is what would have happened. That girl's life was changed that day because Effie heard the voice of God. Can I tell you, that did something inside of me. It grew my hunger. It turned into a bonfire. I wanted that. I did not have that. I wanted that. Effie became one of the leaders in our college and career ministry. She was one of the ones who led one of the groups there. She was awesome. She was responsible for me speaking at Central Pentecostal Bible Camp. I would go out there, led tons of kids to the Lord. Effie, God used her to change my life. I wanted what Effie had. God used all those things to plant in me such a hunger to hear the voice of God that nothing could shut that off. I'm going to share with you in the weeks that are coming, I'm going to share with you what the Lord showed me in this area. And I just want to say it to you really clearly. I don't hear as clearly as Jesus. Don't mistake this. I haven't arrived. There's probably not a single person in here who hungers to hear the voice of the Spirit with greater clarity than me. I doubt you hunger to a fraction of what's inside of me. But I've heard to be a leader, all you have to be is one step in front of the person behind you. I've heard that. So for those of you who are one step behind or anywhere near, you might get something out of this. If you're at a place where you're a step in front of me, I want to spend more time with you. I've told you before, and I'm going to say it again. I believe that we are living in a day that unless we hear with clarity the voice of the Spirit moving forward, we're going to miss so much. We're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It is not going to go well. The great thing is God wants us to hear. The great thing is he empowers us to hear. The great thing is every one of us will hear with that kind of clarity. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Zach, could I have you just come play quietly? Father, when there is an ache inside of us to hear your voice, it is the ache that is planted inside of every child who longs to hear the voice of the parent, who finds comfort in it, who finds courage in it, who finds direction in it, who finds correction in it. Every physical child who is born loves and longs to hear the voice of the parent. Thank you that it's no different with you. I thank you, Father, that those who have struggled in this area for years and years of their life, I thank you that that time is coming to an end. That in these days, you are empowering your children, your sheep, to recognize your voice and to recognize the voice of a stranger and to run from it. I thank you that you will be doing that with every person under the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, you have already prepared us. You have already given us a hunger. Thank you that you are going to teach us. And so I release a grace. As we begin in this, Father, I believe even tonight and tomorrow, I believe you're going to be stirring. I believe you're going to be speaking. I believe you're going to begin putting encounters in every person's life to shift and move and grow us to that place. I ask this week in the life of every person that there would be encounters of hearing your voice and knowing it was you. Bringing us to a place where we have such confidence. The confusion, the doubt is gone. Holy Spirit, apart from you, this would never happen. But with you, as your sheep, we trust that we will hear the voice of the shepherd and know it. I release that grace over every person under the sound of my voice. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that you did. Thank you for all that you spoke. Thank you for being here. Seal it. Let it not be forgotten. Let it not be stolen as we walk out this door. But Father, let the fire increase. I declare to you today what you already know. Your loving Heavenly Father has blessed you. And He's keeping you. He has caused His face to shine on you, and He has been gracious to you. He has lifted up His countenance upon you and filled you full of His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and everybody believing and receiving said, amen. Have an awesome week.